Hi, and welcome to Fear the Swan, Episode 8, a Signar War Machine podcast. I'm Grant.
I'm Gibbs.
I'm Cole.
One day I'll get comfortable doing that one. It's after 88 episodes of a different podcast, it's still like weird to, I have to really like think about doing an intro on this one. It does not come naturally.
Yeah, understood.
Yeah. So we have, Brent is out, he's on travel, and we're going to keep going with our two-part series on the Signar theme forces. So last time we covered Gravediggers and Heavy Metal, so this week we're going to do Storm Division and Sons of the Tempest. But there's a league going around our area in the Maryland, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Delaware area that I'm going to let Gibbs talk about, because I think we talked about it. I think there's some merits on this league. It's different. It's a different type of event, and I think it's pretty cool. So go ahead, buddy. Get into it.
Yeah, we could even call this the Mid-Atlantic,
yeah,
since it kind of has a name.
Yeah, that is what they would call this, isn't it?
Yeah, funny. That's kind of weird. So anyway, the league is our summer league that we're playing called the King of Coins. And it's a very cool format. So essentially, there are 8 coins that were distributed around to players seated around the different region, different points of the region, essentially. And whoever holds a coin is the coin bearer and can be challenged by anyone who's joined up in the league. And this challenge can be on Facebook, and then you know there's an official thread that, there's only one challenge at a time. So essentially, someone's holding the slot as next game, but face-to-face challenges at tournaments and regular game days and things like that supersede online challenges. That way, people can play games that are meaningful throughout the league, even if they're waiting on another challenge. So when whoever wins maintains control of the coin, either the original person keeps it or the new person gets it. And essentially this is going to run through the end of September, I believe, so about 3 months. And at the end of September, whoever is currently holding a coin will play a final tournament. And so there's going to be prizes for the final tournament, but I think, John LeClair is the evil genius behind this.
Yep.
And, you can hear him on Battle Driven. He is, also the head judge of Nova. So you may have, be aware of him from that and other efforts. But he's also coming up with some other awards throughout. And I don't know what they're going to be. Like, it might be, you know, most successful challenges overall. It might be best win streak. It might be, you know, the person who has dethroned the most coin bearers. You can only hold one coin at once, but if you lose it, you can go take a coin from another person. And so this is a great league in terms of getting people from different parts of the region to play each other and to travel to play each other, because the challengers have to make the effort to go to where the coin bearer is. Unless they see him at a tournament. So it's a really cool format. I won't go into too many more details, but essentially, you know, there's a lot of, you know, good-natured smack talking. The coins themselves can be defaced. And so, you know, there's some fun in terms of what you can do to the coin that represents a faction you hate.
Yeah, so if you're a Signar player and you lose the Signar, or it didn't matter, you lose the Signar coin to a Crix player, you know, they might do some dirty things to it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's all in good fun. People have been having a blast with it so far. We've definitely it's given some focus to us in between cons. So check it out. You can check it out on Facebook by looking up King of Coins, you should be able to find it there. And if you're in other regions, take a look at the packet and talk to John LeClair and get the idea from him, because I think this could be replicated very successfully in other areas. So that's why we wanted to bring it up.
Yep. It is a closed group, so I don't know if the rules are posted.
Okay, but friend John LeClaire on Facebook and ask him for the rules.
I mean, or reach out to us, any of us, and we can get them to you as well. But yeah, I think you hit. I'm not going to get into any more details on that because you could look at the rules. But I really like the idea that it's different than a scrum in the sense that you don't have a game every week that you have to play. So if there's some time where, like, I haven't been able to travel down to make any challenges to anybody that isn't one of the New Jersey coin holders, so. Mm-hmm. But that's fine because I just don't have to. You know, I can just wait and bide my time until I get a chance to travel down there or to. And then once you, if you get a coin, then you have the benefit of have people having to be willing to drive to you, which is pretty cool. So it's a cool event. It's very different. I think we ended up with 97 people. It was a lot, so it's a really cool thing for this Mid-Atlantic region, as the kids are calling it.
And it really does help draw people around, because I know the tournament we have this weekend is going to have 3 to 5 coins there in play, so that's going to be exciting, and a lot of people are planning to go down to one of our local stores. I just held a game day at my house the other day, and I said, hey, look, I'm getting 3 coin bearers to show up. Who wants to come challenge us? And 16 people showed up at my house, and so we had games all day, and it was a blast. So this is the kind of buzz that I think really enlivens the community, and it gives people, you know, an excuse to go meet people and play people they might not have a normal chance to. So, yeah. So great job, John. We're having a lot of fun with it. And, you know, if you're in the area, go check it out, because the more the merrier.
Yeah, I agree. John did a great job putting this together, and it's I haven't even played in it, but I read the rules and registration wasn't even up yet, and I was like, here, I already PayPal'd you the money, like, I'm in. This is great. this is sweet. So
that's what I want. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's really great. It's awesome for shrinking the meta, you know, and bringing everybody closer together, and it's been sweet, and Gibbs is the current champ with 8 defenses. Although you don't currently have,
did lose
coin.
My coin.
You did, but
yeah, it was great. I hit a lucky streak. That's pretty rare. To be able to you know, have a streak like that, but it was fun. I, you know, it's cool to see the coins flop around, though. I mean, you know, the great thing is there's a lot of movement, and everybody gets to live vicariously by watching the you know, progress of these coins around.
Yeah, no, it's super sweet. So, all right, I think we spent enough time on that, but you can check it out, hit us up, get you more info. So today we're gonna finish up our theme conversation that we started, I guess it was 2 weeks ago now, maybe 4, I don't even know anymore. So we hit on the champions pairings, and so what we have left are Storm Division and Sons of the Tempest. So we will start with Storm Division first, because I think that's the one we can spend the most time on. Storm Division was the first theme that came out and is probably the most Signar. Like, when this came out, this was the theme. I think everybody was like, yeah, sure. Like, that's the one you would get. So in it, we are allowed to take any Warcaster, non-character Warjacks, Thunderhead, Mechanic model units, Storm Knight model units, Storm Smith model units, Journeyman Warcaster solos, Lieutenant Allison Jakes, Savio Acosta, and Squire solos. You can also take a Mercenary solo and unit. If you do take Savio Acosta, he is considered to be a Signar model instead of a Mercenary model, so therefore he does not take up your Mercenary slot because he would be Partisan Signar. And for every 20 points of Storm Knights and Storm Smiths in this army, you can add a solo Storm Smith weapon crew, unit, command attachment, or the 3 Stormcaller solos for free. All models, Signar models in the army gain immunity electricity, and Stormblade units gain advance move. So, Gibbs, talk to me a little bit about Storm Division.
Sure. I think one other point to really highlight is that the battle engines are Stormsmith models. So if you've just joined the faction, you know, and you're trying out lists, the battle engines do count toward free points. And so you can really build three ways with this. You can do a melee-centric force. Mm-hmm. You can do a shooting gunline-focused force, or you can do a very good combined arms. And very few theme forces out there really allow you that flexibility to do all three. I really, really like that. I think you're going to have a good time with several casters under this theme. You should look at your Beth Maddox. You should look at Striker 2, Striker 1, Striker 3.
Nemo 3.
I've seen people do it with Sturgis. I've seen people... Yeah, all the Nemos.
Really? I don't know there's a caster that you can't put in Storm Division and make it at least playable.
Right, right.
Like, I don't... There's some casters that don't want to be in Heavy Metal. There's some that don't want to be Gravediggers. I mean, I'm not talking about the Sturgises or the Constances or whatever, but I think...
But even they... Yeah. I mean, even they will run fine in Storm Division. That's the real beauty of the list.
I mean, ask Cole about Constance Blaze in Storm Division.
I refuse. Cole, she's what... aside from talking about Connie B, what do you... What do you feel are the best parts of the theme?
I think, like what you said earlier, and just like to hit upon the spot, like this theme just like gives access to so much stuff to us. Like we can, like you did, make the gun line, make the melee-centric force. It's just such a nice, it's also very thematic to what we are as Signar. Like all electricity is just all revolving around like what we are as a faction as a whole. And I look at every caster right now in Signar, like none of these casters, like every single one of these casters is like, I have a spot here.
Yep.
And it's a really nice spot.
Yep. Storm Division's like that theme that you could put a Storm Division list in your pair, bring it to a steamroller, and you will be okay. Like, you don't... It's just a good, strong theme. The benefits are great because when it first came out, or I guess really when some of the other ones came out, playing Storm Division immediately gave you an advantage into the mirror because, for the most part, you were immune to almost any of the electric guns, especially once Nemo 3 became the hotness. You know, something like a Striker 2 in Storm Division was instantly a great list because, well, I'm just going to walk across the table and there's really nothing he can do about it.
Real quick, let me jump in on that.
Go.
If you take a melee build with Storm Division, it is an advantage in the mirror.
Yes, sorry.
If you take the shooting version, that is one of the weaknesses of the shooting version, is when you have Storm Striders and they're threatening a melee Storm Division list, they know which list you're playing because there's rarely will you put Striders into a Storm Division opponent.
Especially like a Striker 2 Storm Division with like Storm Lances. You're like,
you got it.
My Strider can kick one of your Lances, but the four Lances can kill the Strider.
Yeah,
I get
exactly.
a PAL 13 at dice minus 7. Great.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the Striker 2, Striker 1 builds, the Beth Maddox builds. In general, if you have more than one Strider, you're a dead drop. You can't really drop that list if they're threatening a Storm Division list.
Yeah, and I meant to say that, but I was already like getting ahead of myself and looking at some of the other casters.
No,
yeah,
you have a great point. I mean, your point is well taken. It's just limited to the melee build.
That's 100% correct. When the theme first came out, I think the Stormblade advanced move was probably what you would say was one of the weaker benefits, but then Stormblades became a little bit more popular. I mean, at the beginning, it was pretty much just double lances, and that was the end of it. But
I had a lot of success with them. I actually found that to be pretty pretty key. Now, it mirrored the old Striker 2 theme list from Mark 2.
Yeah.
And that's a key. Had the ability to have his Stormblades threatening near the center line turn one really makes his then threat projection with running feet or charging feet even better.
Yeah, and that was actually going to be my next point, was that I didn't play them at first But once I started getting back into Striker 2, having that unit that actually get it, that allows the Stormblades to get delivered, where in most instances they don't, because they'll mini-feat a turn before they really want to and then probably die. But with him, like you said, being able to be there at the midline, and it, whether you on turn one, the next turn you're going to be like arm 23 against shooting.
You got it.
18, yeah, so... It's really tough. It's I fell in love with them the more I played Striker 2 as well.
So rather than go on arm 23, you can do a couple different builds. I've had success with a couple different ways. One, because we have Tactician in the free Stormblade Captain. One very cool tech is to take Arcane Shield. Put it on a Stormlance squad in front. And then you have Stormlances with deceleration are at armor 22 against shooting, and have everybody behind them in like a bowling pin formation. Your second squad of Stormlances and all your Stormblades, and you just drive a wedge. And so against things like Winter Guard rockets, when they weren't threatening things that could strip upkeeps, it was actually quite good because it was really, really hard to chew through that front five. Everybody behind got delivered, especially with his feet. Mm-hmm. The alternative, and I switched up to just strength and numbers, and rather than having one tough nut to crack, I would take double Stormblade and double Stormlance and forgo the Arcane Shield. Because there were enough Hex Blasts in the meta, I just essentially learned to start playing without Arcane Shield. And some people are really uncomfortable with that. After playing it a lot, I say it's not that scary. Just recognize the opportunity you're giving up and the advantage you're getting for it.
Yep. Cole, jump in here with some of this.
I don't play Storm Division that much. It's probably my like least played theme, right? And so, like, I also never, back in the day, like, I never even owned a full unit of Blades. Like, I've only owned Storm Guard, and I never used those.
Yeah, I bet you don't.
And even to this day, I only own 3 Storm Lances, so I've never actually, like, been able to field a full Storm Division list. The only things I've been fielding were like Nemo 3 with like double what are they called again? Stormstriders.
Mm-hmm.
And like a Stormwall to fight the mirror, and I get like 2 free cards at that point.
So I mean, one of our best lists, one of the most, I guess, popular lists for a while was Striker 1 running a Hurricane with Lances and Blades. And that was just a very simple, you know, arm skew. I'm gonna just, here's all the stuff. I mean, Striker 1 with Stormlances was, like, pretty dominant in the meta when themes first dropped, at least in our area. I don't know, Gibbs, if you had the same, you were probably off playing Sloan, so maybe not.
I was playing Sloan in Storm Division, funny enough.
That's right,
because
you were.
It was really funny to go up against, you know, like the Nemos and have them be very, very sad. Because Sloan, you know, had a lot of shooting that wasn't lightning.
You rolled me at Captain Con the first year with that, with your Sloan list. I think I was.
Yeah, essentially what I did is, I instead of taking Striders, because this was before the Battle Engine CID, what I did is I took double squads of Stormlances, because Sloan's biggest challenge is getting overrun, and so taking 2 units of Cav was awesome, because they you know, their instinct was to just mob Sloan by running across the board, and then they had charging Stormlances to deal with, it was pretty fun.
So I want to bring up, I want to ask a separate question and then kind of get back into it, but it popped into my head. Do you think Storm Division, not that it wasn't viable before, do you think the Storm Callers become more viable in 2018 with a scenario like Mirage?
So, yes, and more so than that, Storm Division is one of the great So Gremlin Swarms are very... Gremlin Swarms and Machine Wraiths are very annoying to a whole lot of lists. Storm Division, if you take, you know, 2-3 packs or even 3-3 packs of Stormcallers, suddenly Gremlin Swarms have a bad day.
Yep.
Machine Wraiths have a very bad day. They're magic weapons. They ignore stealth. They ignore cover and concealment. And that's just... really baller. If you have a Storm Strider build, they get the +2 to hit for the enemy being within 10 of a Storm Strider. They can also triangulate off Storm Striders. You really have the ability to throw out a lot of low pal, admittedly. But if you have
fine
a Firefly,
with the Gremlin Swarms.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, it's not gonna help with a Machine Wraith problem or with a
Wraith.
Yeah, the Wraith engine problem. But for general magic weapon, and I'm, you know, unfortunately it's hard to get them boosted, so you can't usually rely on their disruption, but, they also have the ability to just randomly disrupt things, which is kind of, amazing. But yeah, cheap solos are really valuable right now. So I agree with you, Grant. In addition to that utility in the list, just being able to say, hey, I have 3 times as many solos as you do. I have 3 times the scoring opportunities, you know?
Yeah. Like you killed one of my Stormcallers. Great. I've got 5 more that are going to come running to take that flag. Whereas most lists don't have that many disposable solos that they're willing to give up, you know, turn after turn.
Yeah. And some, go ahead, Cole, please.
I still think they serve a more important role than just being solos to fill in the bodies. Because, like, with Storm Division, the E-Leap change, right? We can no longer E-Leap onto stealth models. So they fill a purpose in hunting down, like, stealth models, as well as, like, the Gremlin Swarms. Like, the magic is really awesome. Like, even though there's, like, summoning lightning from the sky, like, how's that magical? But, like, it does so much work, and, like, they can also hit down stealth. And, like, I feel like red's going to start becoming a problem more and more with, like, shadows... And, like, we can't hit all the Mage Hunter Strike Force or any, like, stealth unit that's just hard to deliver. Or, like, Idrians that are Def 17 against our normal guns, but now, like, they're Def 13 against the Stormcallers. And you get... And they're 1 point... They're, like, 1.5 for each model, so they're, like, one of the cheapest... They're, like, the cheapest solo you can get out there. So you should be filling your list with, like, 1 or 2 units at least.
0.6 repeating, but that's fine.
Gibbs, do you think we've cycled back... to a point where Storm Lances are really strong again? I mean, they're always good, right? They're the best unit in our faction, probably hands down, but...
So, they're not particularly strong. I don't think they're particularly strong into medium bases.
Sure.
So, in those matchups, I don't think they're going to help you. You know, if they get in a slap fight with Chosen, guess what? Chosen are going to win. And if not, the warmongers behind them are going to win.
Yeah, for sure.
The problem I think Stormlances have right now is, the types of lists they're best into are the lists that have, you know, a few heavies, a lot of infantry, you know, where they can just house combined arms lists because they can go into any type of threat, you know, infantry or jack. They can do their damage. They usually have a longer threat range than their opponents. But the box spam that you're seeing now just out attritions them because they're too expensive for that type of role.
Yeah, you're only getting 5 guys. And they're only arm 20 with 5 boxes, and they're not going to survive.
Well, that's with Arcane Shield.
There's
a lot of things that ignore that, you know, a lot of things that give out bless. There's a lot of things that strip up keeps. Also, if you have Junior in there, they're not a 20-point unit. Suddenly you're putting, you know, that's Junior and a Jack dedicated, which is just not... It's not...
Efficient. It's not efficient.
Yeah, compared to the meta right now.
Nope, I totally agree with that.
So have another plan. Now, if you have them to accomplish certain things, like, for instance, when we talked to Mick Waters... about the Haley 2 build, you know, they kind of shine as something that hits hard. She can often give them multiple turns of work because of her feet into the types of lists that you want to drop her in. you know, and they do still have a great threat range. If you want to go stupid and make Striker 3, you know, I mean, I played him with double lance build for a while, and it just made people's jaws drop when those things hit.
Yep.
Because they kill everything.
Do you not think with the way the meta is shifting, though, that Striker 3 may make a comeback? Because like, if we're looking at Mana Wars or Primal Terrors or even the new Protectorate theme...
Suddenly they can hit hard enough to matter, yes. Yep.
And we out-threat them just enough as well.
And we out-threat them. The difficulty will be tough, so you have to kind of keep an eye on what the secondary plan is. But they also... Yeah, I mean, they hit very accurately because they're Cav when they get to charge. They can just be mindful of casters that have rebuke and things like that. I think in the current meta, especially considering like Kruger 2's comeback and a couple others, you may want to think about investing in an Eilish, because I think rebuke really, really cuts down on the efficiency of Storm Lances.
I mean, it turns it to basically zero. Like, it's bad. Then they get they threat 10 at PAL 14, and that's not great.
So, and the problem that's going to cause is that they don't have a native source of Pathfinder. So unless you're playing Bethmatics, which I really like playing Bethmatics, you don't have an easy way to get Pathfinder for your Storm Knights. And so then you have to say Eilish or Rupert, and that's a very tough decision for a lot of lists.
Yeah, it is, and I think a lot of times you really have to decide what you're going to play that into. If you're worried about those rebuke, I mean, rebuke's probably one of the few spells that I'm thinking that I'm super worried about getting thrown on them. So personally, I've usually, for what I was playing it into, I usually went Rupert because I think Pathfinder, especially in a Striker 2 build, was much more important. Being able to have the options of the concealment, the Pathfinder, the tough, was just more important than the spell removal.
I agree. That was how I played before Eilish came out.
Sure.
That was when I had Striker 2 in my pair. It was before Eilish was released. But yeah, I agree. I took that kind of build to ATC, and I loved it. I think it's great.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so I think essentially if you start with the framework of, you know, your all melee, your combined arms, or your ranged version, I think start there because that's going to guide you in your choices. I think if you're going to do combined arms, I would only do one Strider. I have had success with a one Strider build with Maddox because she has snipe. Striker 1 for the same reasons.
Yep. Striker 2.
Striker 2. I haven't tried it with Striker 2. Why do you find that works?
So you drop the Stormblades, and a lot of times, at least for me, because I don't run that wedge, I don't run the wedge formation like you do.
Yeah.
I've found that the Stormblades end up just being used to go contest and then die, and eat a bunch of attacks, and if I get a couple hits and charges in, then great. But for the most part, I found they didn't do a ton except eat shots. So the Stormstrider in the Striker 2 match gives you some it gives you some range presence that you don't have otherwise. It also benefits from decel, so it goes to arm 21 against shooting.
That's
not
nice.
Not that it was going to get shot off the table anyway, but you know, it can
happen easily.
And it benefits from feet. So on feet turn, he can charge something, get the e-leaps, shoot two things, get the e-leaps, and then walk 3 inches and make another attack and get more e-leaps.
And get the e-leaps. Yeah. Okay.
So I mean, he can do effectively more work than a unit of Stormblades and is arguably harder to kill. Obviously takes up less board presence. So that's the direction that I actually went towards my later end of my Striker 2 play, was I dropped the lance, the blades, and I think you have to drop something else, but it's escaping me right now, and then you take a Stormstrider instead.
I dropped max lances to min lances to fill it up, have one max, one min, so you can still have the support solos you need, like Journeyman and the Stormblade Captain. But, like, everyone's afraid of the Stormstrider gun, right? So, like, if you have it in there, it turns the Striker 2 from an old melee build to the combined arms, and people have to respect the Strider just because of what the Strider can do. All of a sudden, you're clearing out so much more infantry than you would have been with just lances.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, I haven't tried that. That's intriguing. Yeah, but about the wedge formation, if you are going to play Blades, don't let them get shot.
Yeah,
because,
yeah, yeah.
Okay, you can have that one turn of Iron Zeal plus D-Cell, and they're somewhat hardy, but man, they die in droves if you get them shot. That's why I loved doing a double wedge with all the Stormblades just packed in right behind.
I remember your Maddox list that did that, and I thought that that was super sweet. It was just a fucking box wedge of models all moving forward in and out of each other.
Yeah.
Charging through each other, and that was a very good list.
Yeah, and the problem is you can't untangle it without being in threat of everything else.
Yeah.
And therefore the Blades, I had the opposite experience. I got a ton of work out of the Blades because of that ability to deliver them.
Yep. And we want to talk about some, I mean, for the most part, the mercs are pretty much the standard ones. I think you end up with Rupert, Eilish, Ian, and Holt, and Ragman. I haven't really deviated from that too much, although Cole and I played around with a Siege 2 list in Storm Division that took Nis Hunters, so.
Okay. No, I think that was Gravedigger's Grant still.
Oh, you're right. I toyed around, I played around with that. I never actually did it.
Cool.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much. I mean, Storm Division, like we kind of said, it's you can do anything. You could do a melee list, you could do ranged, and you could do mixed arms. It's very good at that, and it is still a strong theme. Gibbs is 100% right. The meta is a little tough for it right now, but maybe it's shaping into a, you know, Maddox Striker 3 type of, you know, type of plan, because you get Pathfinder with Maddox on the charge. It's like a poor man's
Striker
3.
She also has the plus 3 strength feet.
She does.
And Bulldoze on the feet as well, yep. Which is kind of handy.
I thought it was Beatback.
I'm sorry.
It is Beatback.
It's Beatback.
How relevant is Beatback usually for you?
I just killed it. I just killed everything anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's usually the plan with her. Yeah,
I run double clad with her as well. Yeah. And so one of the great things about Maddox is she is a Stormblade, or a Storm Knight. So she accumulate the Stormclads accumulate off her, and she also can get the benefit of Tactician from the Stormblade Captain. So she's very versatile, and the Stormclads are very, very efficient. She likes to be up forward, and so often I would be able, because I also took Arlan, I would be able to hand out one focus when I needed to fully power both Stormclads, because Arlan would power up the other one. And so you have two fully loaded Stormclads. You can have a sail on one, or you can rocket between them for another two.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, she just upkeeps a couple other spells, Onslaught and Dauntless Resolve, and she's always camping three or more, and it's just awesome. And then she usually has a wall of bodies in between her and the enemy as well. They just can't bring enough Shadowfires to get through it. But I found that it was a great list because essentially the Stormclads were on cleanup duty, and so they would come behind the wedge, the bowling pin wedge, and by that I mean a squad of the five Stormlances with Dauntless Resolve. Then right behind them is the other squad of Stormlances, just mirrored base to base, and then within that pocket is all of your Stormblades and your Stormblade Captains, and then your Stormclads are kind of flanking the Stormblades, also hiding behind the big bases of the Stormlances. So essentially, the only target you really present to them is the Dauntless Resolved, you know, tough arm 20 lances in front, and they don't have a lot of time to deal with them before they have to engage you.
Yep, I remember that when you played that list, it was very good. That formation really turned it on. So I think we covered everything for Storm Division, right? Does anyone have any last thoughts, or we'll move on to?
That's great.
All right, sweet. Sons of the Tempest, the Gunmage, the much maligned Gunmage theme, at least for a while, until it went through a couple changes. So, in this theme, you can take Signar Warcasters, non-character Warjacks, Arcane Tempest model units, Mechanic model units, Squire solos, and Journeyman Warcaster solos. You can take a Merc solo and unit. For every 15 points of Arcane Tempest model units, you can add a command attachment or solo free of cost. Gunmage, Arcane Tempest Gunmage and Black 13th Strike Force units in this army game Pistolier. Pistolier makes the gunfighter attack damage rolls boosted. That's a big deal, and I'll let Gibbs get into that in a second. And then models in this army can upkeep spells on friendly Arcane Tempest model units without spending focus. And note, that has been reworded. Models in this army can upkeep spells on friendly Arcane Tempest model units without spending focus. So that also counts for... not that you necessarily would want to, but if you wanted to keep Arcane
Zero,
Shield,
yeah,
Arcane Zero, Fire for Effect was the reason that was changed. Yep. So, Gibbs, first thing I want to talk about, because I think this catches a lot of people off guard, and it certainly did when you brought the Cray list out, is how fucking good is Pistolier on the Black 13?
It's amazing. So there was kind of a glorious moment, I think, where I converted some believers at Captain Con, because I was playing awesome Trish Soretti. And she was doing the double turtles and had just jammed, you know, both turtles way up into my Cray list. I had four Centurions. She had, like, you know, four or five beasts, plus these, you know, turtles and agonizers behind. And the reason I was running in Sons of the Tempest, and the big benefit that Sons of the Tempest has, is it's the most access to debuffs of any theme we have. And therefore, because you can have Falk, Ayana and Holt, and Ragman or Gorman, you can get a plus six armor swing on targets. When you combine that to the Black 13th having concentrated power, so every time one of them hits, the others get plus one to damage subsequently. They also have Brutal Shot, which gives them an additional die to damage. And then Pistolier gives them boosted gunfighter shots. So that means if you go with Lynch and Watts first, Ryan is a POW 12, potentially up 6 to POW 18 weapon master in gunfighter range.
So that's 4 dice, POW potentially 18.
Essentially, yes.
Yeah. Rat 8, so you're going to be hitting.
Yeah, you hit. Yeah,
you want the plus and
Rat 8. So essentially, what happened is, with a little bit of support, they soloed a Derp Turtle, just without even breaking a sweat, and everybody's jaw dropped that was watching the game, because they were like, "Oh, that's not even." And then they started doing the math in their head, and they were like, "Oh, that wasn't even like a lucky."
No, it wasn't even close. And the funny part was, like when you first started doing that, and you're just like, "Okay," like when you first started charging the Black 13th in on the dirt on the Siege Animatrix, everybody's probably like, what's the plan here? Like, what do you think he's gonna do?"
So I walked him up. Yeah, I walked him up into melee with it. And the cool thing is, with the changes to Gunfighter, unlike Mark II, Gunfighter is when you're in melee. So that means if they have a 2-inch reach, all you have to do is get within 2 inches.
Yep.
Now, if you're charging, you have to get in your melee range, so it is a 1/2 inch. But if you just walk, you only have to walk within 2. So I actually walked up behind a wall. So that when he took his defensive strike because of feet, it missed. I think I sent Lynch in, and it missed Lynch. And so I was like, "Okay, well, that's done." So the rest of them just walk up and just casually remove a turtle. And that's not an uncommon sight. It's one of the few combinations that can actually play into like Carapace spam for Black Industries. It's not great, but I'm saying if you're stuck in it, it's something that you can play through. One of my favorite current builds is I have a Kane 1 list that's in Sons of the Tempest with all the debuffs, so plus 6, you know, potential debuff, a couple of squads of Gun Mages, and then 4 Hunters. And the Hunters in his battle group are magic weapons, so that means they get the Falk benefit, and as well as I have Gorman in that list rather than Ragman, and then I have Ionon Holt. And so the lovely thing is you can Thunderbolt Slayers into these little triangles, and then you can debuff all of them with Rust and all of them with Falk Spray, and then suddenly you're blasting them away. One of them you can give the Kiss of Lilith, and you just trivially remove these pockets of three jacks with between the Hunters and Kane and the other things like the Black 13 thing.
What does your dice roll end up getting to? So they're arm 18, so down to 9, plus 4 is 13.
So you assume that you get plus 4 on them because the Kiss of Lilith is only on 1. So essentially you're neutralizing Carapace.
Right.
But that means they're a 17. They're back down to their normal stats. So the Black 13th are getting dice minus 7, dice minus 6, and then 2 dice minus 5s with 4 dice. You also have brutal damage from the GMCAs, and also then Kane and his shots, because he can often just put 4 shots. The Hunters are at dice minus 3 at that point, I think. And so they can, between all of them, they can pretty much cripple 3 Slayers, which is quite nice. I still haven't tested that list fully, but it's one of my R&D projects to try to play into 9 Slayers.
Yeah. I think one thing, and you touched on this, but we've touched on this before, but Strangeway is also giving magic weapon to a jack, which then benefits from the Falk feat.
Yes.
That's something I think that's, I'm not going to say it's not common. I didn't think about that interaction when I first looked at Sons of the Tempest, so that was something you turned me on to.
Yeah, the Kray list really benefited from that because you could give, sometimes landing a Kiss is kind of hard. So what you would do is you would do a negative 4 debuff between Ragman and Falk, and then magic weapon 2 Centurions, because one with Arlen, one with Ayana. And, you know, just giving magic weapon to your own Centurion, you don't have to roll a hit on that. So it's a lot more consistent.
Yep.
Which is quite nice.
Cole, get in here, because I think you've spent a little more time with Suns than you have with Storm Division, possibly.
So I thought Suns was like a heart garbage theme until I met the Anthony Gibbs here, and I saw what he did at Captain Con, and I was just, because I was riding with Trish Soretti on the way back, and we were talking about that game a bit, and like how like crazy Kray get. So the next like big convention we went to, I shamelessly stole Gibbs's list, Kray list for the champions, and I came really high up, and I think I only lost once, and it was just the list surprised me, and all it could do, like, infantry army or a jack-heavy army, you just, like, had so much, like, hitting power and, like, board control with the four centurions just, like, going wherever they want and just being a nuisance the whole time.
Yeah, no, that list was really good.
Why did I stop playing that list? I need to,
because you,
maybe I need to go back.
Because you started tweaking it, and then it became like something totally different, and then you just went back onto other things.
So the reason I was tweaking it is because heavy metal is coming up in Champions. Yes. And so I do think actually playing Kray in Sons of the Tempest might be a superior look for it
when you're not in Champions and for
Not in Champions, if you're going for that style, for the tools I was trying to get, use it for, because it's the against the list that really try to stack armor against you, you know, like all the Slayers. Now it's still not great, it's you know, an uphill battle, so I'll caution you. Don't think this is a silver bullet, because it's not. 9 Slayers is really, really hard for our faction.
Period.
Period.
Yeah.
But if you find yourself in that match, it gives you you can definitely play through it, and I've won several games like that.
Now, Cole, you've been playing with your boy Striker One, or Siege One, excuse me, in Suns currently, right?
Isn't that more like your boy? I haven't personally.
It is, yeah,
I haven't touched Siege One since like the very beginning of Mark III, so that's what, like 2 years ago now. I haven't played Siege One. And so when I was, Gibbs was so nice to host a get-together of everyone last weekend for games. I thought, and I like kind of like came up with a Siege 1 list, and Sons of the Tempest had like Triumph. All I wanted to do was put Fire for Effect on a Jack Marshalled Hunter and see how well that could perform. Three dice to hit, you go nice. For Fit Brutal, and then you can hopefully get like four dice damage if you're aiming POW 8. Like just how much like, can I like try to like have fun? And the list actually performed really well. I fought against like an Abbey One, Beast Heavy Brick, the Gator guy that knocks everyone down. What's his name?
Talking about Barnabas One.
Barnabas One, right? Yeah, so Barnabas One with like the Swamp Pit, or in the last game was like Kruger Two. So it was like a lot of like anti-shooting tech in all three lists, but I felt like Siege 1 actually had like a lot of game. And there's nothing like enjoyable watching like a Centurion like charge in and have like a dice plus a 11 on a Rassler or something like that when I falked him and gave the Centurion magical.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing like overkill with Siege 1, and I really enjoyed it. And I think Siege 1 has a lot of game into
the... Yeah, it does sound like he was truly falked.
Nice. Let's talk about some of the casters that want to play in this, because this theme is not, unlike Storm Division, I don't think you can just take any caster and put them in this theme and it'd be fine. So you've got Kane 1 and 2. What'd you say?
Or 3.
Yeah, 3
actually,
could do it.
Kane,
yeah.
Kane 3, it's really nice to give him a couple more Shadowfires.
Yep.
Suddenly, so you have the debuff boat going, and then he can also, put out the mortality. And when you combine all of those, you can get a +8 swing instead of +6.
Oh my god.
It is too much.
I feel like that's too much. I feel like that. What else could you even have left in that list?
Wait, we feed, dude, and we get to a +11.
I don't think that's too much enough.
You don't think +11's enough?
No, okay. No. All
right, I'm with you.
Could be better.
Could be 13.
I mean,
13.
He has limitations. I mean, look, play him. He's fun.
Yeah, he is fun, but...
You know, I don't play him because I find that Sloan is a little more versatile, but he's... If you get the right matchup with him, he just abuses other lists.
Sure does. Haley 1, actually, this is probably the theme that she shines the most in. Looking through real quick.
Yeah, because she can Deadeye the gun mages, or even like feet for the riflemen. And you, if you like cheekily put like Iris 1 in there, then all of a sudden you're doing like 15 auto points on feet turn.
Yeah. Siege 1 definitely likes to be there, because one of the problems that he has is you want to take boost. You want to take high quality shots, which gun mages give you. And then Haley 2 probably could do it, but I don't know what you would play into it. She really doesn't have a way to protect anymore in Mark 2 when she had deflection or deceleration. Then it was a little different because you got them to like def 17 and it was stupid, but she can't really do that anymore. So not as great, but there might be something there with some control and some thunderbolts.
So let's talk about what complements the list well.
Yes.
From a caster standpoint, one of the things you're probably going to realize is if you don't have something to help your rat, either Deadeye or Haley One's temporal spell. Sometimes yep. Gun mages can get in that no man's land where they're rolling for 8s or 9s, and that's not great.
No, agreed.
So you don't think Breath 7 as a base is good enough?
It's good enough in a lot of matchups, but if you run into like a Haley 3 or a Fianna, anybody that's actually doing defense skew, and it's not as common, but just be aware that they're accurate compared to normal troops, but they are not accurate enough to hit really high defense unaided.
And there's not a lot of them, so whether you're taking Gun Mages, that's a 5-man unit, or Tempest Blazers, that's either a 3 or a 5-man unit, there's not a lot of them, and when you start needing 8s and 9s, you don't have that quality, that volume of shots to do the work that you need them to do, because they don't have that melee presence outside of pistol, you know, having pistolier. They just don't put out the amount of work once you start missing.
Yep, correct.
So do you think this theme itself can be played in against a defense skew, an armor skew, a infantry skew, or jack skew, depending on what cast we slot into the theme?
Yes. Because if you see the Kray build was intended to go against armor stacking.
And control.
You could play it in Haley 1 or Kane 1. A lot of times you're going against, you're very effective against infantry spam because you have just so many shots.
You slot in, Siege 1, who can just,
blow yes. away. Yes. Yeah, Siege 1's, you don't want too much armor because he only has the feet.
Yes.
But Siege 1 excels at crushing a combined arms list if you build him right. Or being very threatening to their caster, and keeping them back. Originally I played Sloan in Sons because the Shadow Fighters made her and her battle group scary as hell. People didn't like to come up the board with that threatening. I think Kane 3, it would be the same way.
I think Kane 2 as well.
Yeah.
Cause he can still just kill a caster.
Kane 2 Shadow Fighters if you can take 5 of them.
Yeah,
so I mean that's something that we do get in this list. You do have access to a plethora of magic weapons, although most of them aren't going to do enough damage where you're not going to shoot a Wraith Engine off the table. But you can easily kill anything else that you would need magic weapons for. Shadowfires, sorry, that was the other thing that I was thinking of. Shadowfires and Thunderbolts. So we get some control in the Thunderbolts with the potential knockdowns and the pushes, and Shadowfire for opening up assassinations or picking off important support pieces that are hiding behind, something else.
And now with Kane Zero coming out, see a lot more Kane Zero and Ace probably in this list, just because Fire Perfect is that good of a spell, and if you put it on the right model, it may be for you, people may not be, but having just access to 3 trick shots or another Shadow Fire from Ace just seems really good.
It seems good on Falk. Getting a fully boosted spray seems fine. Or on, who else was I thinking in that list? I mean, even a Gun Mage Captain of Death, right?
It's really good on Falk. It's really good on Siege 1.
Yeah, it's great on Siege 1, yeah.
Yeah. Because the reason is, for Fire for Effect to get to be really effective, it either has to be on something that doesn't normally get the ability to boost.
Yes.
Or something that is hitting multiple targets with the one shot. So that's why you need to look at Falk with his spray. You need to look at Siege 1 with his Ground Pounder. Just to call back to Storm Division, you can also look at Thunderhead. Not in Storm Division, but Heavy Metal.
Yeah.
You can do Thunderhead as well, because his pulse is one shot to everybody in 6.
Alright, if we're going crazy here, we can also Jack Marshall Avenger.
We can put
Fire Effect on the Avenger, because it's AoE 4, and it'll be range 14 with Snipe.
Jump the shark.
Yeah. I don't know, buddy. That seems like a lot. That seems like a lot of points put into that gun.
Just jump the shark.
Yep, I think it's time, Cole. I think it's time to give it up. So, is this theme suffer from a similar thing like Storm Division, where the meta is just not necessarily right for it, or do you think it's potentially better?
I think Sigmar right now is heavily dictated. It's not heavily dictated, but it is dictated by how the meta goes. Where, if this is happening right now with, 9 Slayers, and we have to, as a Signar faction, adapt to the 9 Slayers, or, with Maelok happened, we had to adapt to Maelok.
Yeah, we're answering the questions now instead of asking them outside of Haley 3, right?
Sloan.
You're right, but I just
I'm joking. Yeah, everybody knows my obsession. It's fine. Yeah. I think it really has its place in the current meta, because if you look at the Kray for Centurion, still a great build for the current meta. The Kane 1 list, I've actually had a lot of success with it. It's quite good so far, and I've only gotten, I don't know, 15 or 20 games with it. So it still needs a lot more testing, but it's really solid. And just remind me on Facebook, and I'll put up the list if I didn't last time. And I think Siege 1 and Sons has a lot of potential considering the medium base spam right now. Because between the debuffs and his feat is in its element when it's against medium bases.
Yep.
That is the best use of Siege 1's feat.
100%.
And so I believe that he would probably be great into either Maelok or Armored Core. I don't know about, because of the Feigned Death. The great thing is, I think Ground Pounder gets away from Feigned Death, right?
Gets around Feigned
Death. Because you don't target.
But
Strix shots get around Feigned Death as well.
Okay.
Shots are high enough damage.
Okay, but the order of activations is going to get in your way there. I don't know about Primal, but I think it should do well into Armor Core Maelok. I'd have to see it.
I think it might be okay, and I don't want to be like I think the answer there is actually Heavy Metal. I don't think it's Sons. Not that Sons, again, there's definitely play with Sons, but I think his play is with Chargers. Like, Chargers are the answer to medium bases with Siege 1. Like, they just are.
Sort of. But then you have to get a ton of mileage out of the feet. And the great thing about Sons with the debuffs is you don't have to pop the feet when they just give you something. Targets.
Yeah, that's
you
fair.
Get to hold it longer, and that's really, really beneficial. And the other thing that I really like about Sons of the Tempest as your armor-cracking list, now, the weaknesses are it's very support-dependent. And you have to learn how to keep your support alive, because if they die, you're screwed. If that's what you're going into. But the upside, the real advantage, is it also tends to do well into infantry and combined arms, because, you know, gun mages do pretty well at just removing dudes. And so, for instance, the Kane 1 list is great, because if they happen to drop, you know, 50 halberdiers at you, guess what? Kane can remove, you know, 20 or 30 just with his feet and then go for a drink. So it really gives you a flexibility in a list pairing situation, because it's not just Striker 3 with Storm dudes, I'm going to punch you in the face. You know, they know what that list is. They know what you're looking to drop it in against. The Kray list, they're like, what is this? You know, what are they trying to get?
The armor cracking in Sons is so deceptive, because someone will look at the list, and even if it's this, I'm just going to use a Centurion list, but they'll look at it like, okay, like, he's got the Centurion, and then the fucking Black 13th come in out of nowhere, and one round, you know, your battle engine, and you're like, right. Oh, fuck, like, I wasn't ready for that at all.
You got it.
So it can certainly, the armor cracking potential on that list can certainly catch some people off guard. You're right. It is absolutely our most versatile list when it comes to that. It's also the easiest to get free points. I mean, you're getting them at 15. So, I mean, you can easily get four. I've seen lists with 5 free cards. Can you get 5?
Yeah. You can't get 5, but literally,
it's all gun mage.
You can only have gun mages in your battle. In your army for 75 points.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Go.
Sorry.
What do you got?
I was dojoing as we talked.
Perfect.
So here's my. This is hot off the presses, untested. So you'll probably put it on the table and get smashed. Sorry. So Kane 3, you can put in Sons with 3 Chargers and Ace, and a Squire. You get 2 Captain Adepts. You get Falk, Arlen Strangeways, Gorman, Ayan and Holt. I'm going to have to tweak a little bit, because you got to get Murdoch in there as well. So let's say you take a squad to a min or something. You get double blazers. And what this lets you do is, you know, debuff. You have four shadow fire shots, which is ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
You have brutal damage everywhere to take advantage of the debuffs. And you can make one of the chargers magic as well. So you have Kane's own squad, Ace, a charger that's magical. Those can all get the Bastion Fault buff in addition to both adepts and both Blazer squads. That's pretty bonkers.
That's
good.
Hot right there.
I need to tweak the points a little bit because of Murdoch, but right. Just take that idea and run with it. I think it has legs.
Do you find yourself taking the Rifleman much, or do you end up... I guess you fall more on the support side of getting the Ian and Holt and the Strangeways and the Ragman and etc.
Nope, I love the Rifleman.
I love the Rifleman, yep, but I ahead. Find they're the first points I usually shave off of a list. Like, if I need to make that four extra points...
I have to.
Because, like, the Gunmage Captain Adepts can be free, or, like, they and Folk, I think, have a lot more, like, direct impact on the game.
Yep.
Where, like, the Riflemen have, like, they're really good, but they're also a lot more situational in what they want to fight or what they want to see.
If I was playing a Haley 1 list, I would absolutely want the Riflemen, because you just pop off systems, you know, with each of them on a turn, on feet turn.
Yeah, and that's pretty strong. I mean, what I love is because I use, like, for instance, the Kane 1 list, because I use that as an anti-armor list, they are great for just taking out the rest of that column.
Yep.
So, essentially, if I'm playing into, you know, like, let's say a Kador Jack spam or something like that, you know, or even against the Slayers, it's really nice because you can just take out that Cortex and then just keep it thunderbolted away, and then you don't really have to worry about it. You know, especially if you knock it down, like essentially Thunderbolt to knock down a Jack without a Cortex, and it's so sad. With Deadeye, you can get the knockdowns pretty consistently. So that I really like them for scalping that out. I also love that they're Repo 3. And so when it comes to flag scoring, they're kind of the unsung heroes because they can walk six, pop a shot at someone, do a deadly shot, and then repo three onto a flag and score. And it's amazing.
That is really good.
Yeah.
I had one more thing, and it is escaping me. Oh, I know what I was going to say. So we've dojoed all this. In my opinion, this theme is fine. The changes that they made got it into a good place, and Pistolier is great. I think this is still by far our weakest theme. Just my personal opinion.
It's not bad, though. It's just weak.
No, we have four very... We are one of the lucky factions. We have four very good, very playable themes. I don't think anyone's going to look at you weird if you walk up to the table with any of our themes and drop one. They're very good. I think this one is our weakest, especially in this meta. I think we're a heavy metal Storm Division, you know, Gravediggers faction right now. I think Suns is still kind of on the bench for the most part. There's exceptions, like you said. I think Siege 1 has a place, and I think Kane 1 and probably maybe Haley 1 if you were gonna play her into. If you had something very, very specific in mind, once you can multiply all those shots, I could see that being a interesting list. But all right, any last thoughts on Sons of the Tempest?
What have you been trying with Sons of the Tempest recently?
Me?
Yeah.
Nothing. I haven't been trying. I'm not gonna lie to you. I haven't been trying to do anything with Sons of the Tempest. I may look at the Siege. I've been trying to get Siege 1. I'm trying to get a list I like with him to pair with the Haley 3. So I may give that a look. Although I really like a lot of Chargers with him. So I'm not sure. Are you guys working on anything different, or is that, I mean, I know you, Gibbs, you've been messing around with the Kane 1, and then Cole, you've got Siege 1.
I'm trying to branch out of Haley 3, which is, like, I'm seeing a whole new faction, basically, for me, and this is kind of, like, interesting.
He's like, oh my god, guys, did you know we have a caster called Striker 2? Did
you... He's like, you know what, these gut mage Captain of Depths do?
We have three theme forces? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Like, aside from Gravediggers, I thought that Diggers was the only,
Guys, Haley 2 has a spell called TK and Dominate. Those are bonkers. Oh, no, you know Dominate because she has Dominate on Haley 3. That didn't work. Sorry.
Oh, man. So stay tuned. I'm actually testing a variant on Haley 2 that might get in my pair soon. So,
same here. I like to see how ours pan out.
Yeah, I think you guys are kind of on the same page with what your goal is for that, and we can and what that ends up shaping up. I'm certainly interested to see how your guys' lists shake up. As those progress, we can talk about them. We will be back next week, though, because we've missed a few recordings in the last couple weeks, so we're going to, this episode will be out, and then the following week we will also have another episode, so stay tuned.
About GigaCon and what's the other one?
Possibly Grimkin, if we can. We may be doing our next section on the other factions, and we may be talking Grimkin, but we're definitely going to talk to GigaCon, to Brent, who took second, so congrats to him, and congrats to our buddy Brandon Andrews, who took first, but fuck that guy, because it's a Signar podcast, so congrats Brent, on taking second.
Hey, no, I mean, come on, he repped Connie B.
The world has heard enough about Connie B, it's fine.
And even though she was murking at the time, I still think that that's I think he's a partisan Signar.
Is that what we'll give him?
Yeah.
Okay.
So when Brandon comes on this cast, he's going to be Signar. So he's
perfect.
Partisan.
All right. That sounds great. Also, we did see it. So we saw Connie take a first, and then Striker 3 in third. That was some hot action going down at the GigaCon.
The world turned upside down.
I don't know what's right anymore. It was Mercenary, Signar, and only one of them had Haley 3. I don't know what's happening. So, all right, guys.
You know, just when people get used to not seeing her, that's when she's just going to steamroll them.
I know. I think it's going to be the same with Haley too, man. I think once the list that gets figured out, that somebody decides that, you know, into the places you want to play, because she's just not a catch-all anymore like she used to be. So I think
she's still really strong. Yeah, and I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm going to take her to a tournament this weekend, two tournaments actually. And so I will figure. And I'm planning on running her, I think, at Gen Con. So if all goes well, I'll have some reports here in a few weeks.
Perfect. All right, that sounds good, and I think we'll call it there, and we'll hopefully have Brent back next week and possibly a special guest. So for all of us here, I'm Grant.
I'm Gibbs.
Thanks for listening.